Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to another edition of the EPL show. I'm Ben Johnson. I've got with me Neil Atkinson. I've got Paul Cope. And we like to delve into something a bit random on this show, as you're probably aware by now. We were going to do something. We were actually going to look at the brilliant article by, what's your man's name?
Ken Ailey.
Yeah, we were going to basically talk about that. And it was going to be a really good show. And then, so it's the morning after Barcelona away. And so we're not going to talk about that at all, because nobody wants to talk about football or tactics or anything. We're going to talk about flat earthers. What do you reckon? Going to do half an hour on flat earth theory.
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right, Sam. So I read this article the other week. Saved it purposefully for ages, you know. It was on Newsweek.com, and it was about a documentary on Netflix, Behind the Curve, Flat Earthers, and it's about this, you know, new group who believe the Earth to be flat. And basically, they believe that the Earth is within a massive dome with the sun and moon rotating in the sky in a circle above our heads.
Okay.
The Earth's flat as a pancake.
Okay.
And the Antarctic is a massive ice wall like on Game of Thrones. So this is the belief. Right, I'm not poking fun, this is just their belief.
Okay.
You know, I'm not here to...
Like Truman Show.
Yeah,
like
effectively,
where
yeah.
You go to the end and there's an end.
You go to the end, there's an end.
Yeah.
The moon and the sun are revolving around us, we're stationary.
Okay.
And it's flat as fuck. So basically, the documentary is about this movement, what it's about, what, you know, the nature of it, why they do it, what the feelings are. And they set up, within the documentary, they set up these two experiments to prove that the Earth is flat. So the first one, they get a laser gyroscope, and this fella spends $20,000 on this laser gyroscope. And the rationale is that this gyroscope will prove that the Earth's flat because of the angle at which it's pointing or whatever. I'm not a fucking physicist, as you may well. I don't know, you might think I am, I'm not. So he spends 20 grand on this thing, turns it on, and is like, ah, fuck. It appears to suggest that the Earth is revolving around something like a giant big sun. So let's fuck that off. He actually says, he actually quotes, wow, this is kind of a problem.
Which it is.
So his mate, another flat earther, his mate, sets up another experiment. He basically puts up two massive posts at a set distance apart from each other with holes in. And the rationale is he's going to shine a light from one fixed point at a set height, say 20 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Earth's flat, he sets a camera up behind it. If the Earth's flat, the light will shine the camera. It's like that far away that the curvature of the Earth will, if it's flat, the curvature of the Earth doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So it'll shine directly straight. So he sets this experiment up, turns his camera on, turns the lights on, and there's fuck all. And he's like, so we see phones his mate who's got the light. He's got like a fuck off big torch down the other end of the field. Whatever. I don't know how far it is. I don't. And he says, lads, who's a favour? Just lift your light up a bit higher. And he goes, all right, he puts the light above his head and it shines through the hole. And it basically proves that the earth is curved. And he's like, oh, fucking hell. Fuck's sake. So then, it's quite sad, but it's dead interesting. Because he literally, it's quotes what he says. It's interesting. That's interesting. And he goes on, his head's kettled. And he says, say you lose faith in this thing. What happens to my personal relationships? What's the benefit for me doing that? He's basically acknowledging, yeah, I know it's bollocks. I know this thing's bollocks.
But I've got all my flat earth mates. We have a flat earth pint. We don't talk about the flat earth thing very much. We talk about what's going on. How is everyone? Nice to see you, Bob. Did you get that problem sorted in work? I did, thanks.
Did you trip over? Was you knackered walking round the curvature of the earth? No, it wasn't. It was flat as fuck on my way to work. What will the mainstream people welcome me back? No, they couldn't care less. But now I've lost all my friends in this community. It becomes a question of identity. Who am I in this world? And how can I define myself through this struggle? And I don't know about you. I'm waking up this morning thinking, that's interesting, isn't it? Because here we are. Our lives in turmoil from what's going on with Liverpool. Like turmoil. We talked briefly about it last night and me.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the result last night. That's really irrelevant. I think for me, it's reached a crescendo. Like the last month, I think I've basically been impossible to live with. Like my wife's looking at me like, what's going on? And I'm like, look, I know. Just give me another 5 weeks. And all this will be over for a bit. We'll have a bit of respite. Like the eye of a storm. We'll all knock off. Do you know what I mean? And it does make you think, basically, what are we doing? Like genuinely, what I want to talk about, and this is like, there's no other agenda. I've gone, this is the agenda, you've seen it.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. It's fantastic. Fabulous. You just read it all out.
What are we going to do? What are we doing? Why have we anchored our lives around this particular thing? Like, why do we, what is it? Do we believe that if Liverpool win the league, or do we believe that if Liverpool are good, that it fulfills our life? What's the point in what we're doing? Genuinely, why are we doing it?
I'm trying to put the price up here.
I was thinking about this yesterday. I love the way we had a 5 minute, for people who don't know, we watched the match together, and we had a 5 minute conversation from leaving the pub to getting the train, where we touched on this, and we've both gone to bed and woken up, and you've done this agenda, and I've written this big article for the website about religion. It's nuts. Like, what are we doing? This is insane.
Like, what are we doing? Like, why do, like, genuinely, I want to genuinely...
You want to come out to this show feeling like I understand what it is.
Like, I need some justification as to what I'm doing with my life, because as it stands, it looks, to all intents and purposes, like I'm fucking wasting what? It. Do you know what I mean?
This could be the end of the Amphia Rap.
Honestly, this could go either way, because I could just walk out here. I'm meant to be doing, we're meant to do a second look, aren't we? And I might just walk out. And say, fucking it off, lads. Leave that.
What's your mad? Why do you think we're doing this?
Someone mentioned to me on Twitter the other day saying the one thing I've taken out of the past few shows, mate, is that you've been away for a while. And I went, yeah, I'll probably stop mentioning it, but I can't, because they've been away for a while. I've already been thinking about all this stuff, and now I've come back and we're having this fucking crisis. Because I've been away with people who've got no interest in any of this. And whenever someone was messaging me last night, and like, she's off travelling still and she's in Spain, and she's saying to me, so what are your plan? I was like, oh, we'll meet up. She's with her husband, and I'm like, oh, well, I'll come and meet you at some point. She went, what's your plan? And I went, well, I don't know yet, because I don't know whether I need to be in Madrid in 3 weeks or not. And she's like, oh, fucking hell, you're still doing that, are you? Your whole life is still revolving around this football team. And I'm like, yeah, of course it is.
I mean, I'm interested in your genuine thoughts as to why, why are we rooted? Why is this rooted so much in our personalities? Because it's not like we've chose this thing. This is, there's not a great deal we can do about this. This has been handed down to us, passed on. I'm doing the same with my son now. It makes me equally proud and overwhelmingly sad. That he's, you know, he's taking on the mantle and he's going to be like next generation supporter, because you can, it's fanaticism. It's a form of fanaticism. Like, why are we doing it, lad?
I think the first thing about this and the first thing about this season is it's actually got harder by virtue of being really good.
Yeah.
So everyone says, like, the point is, you sing by far the greatest team the world has ever seen, and every team up and down the country sings it. And this Liverpool side is pretty close to being it. You know, you can sing it with a fair amount of sincerity. Yeah. You know, you're not watching Doncaster Rovers here. You're not watching Liverpool of 8 years ago here. This is one of the teams that could be the greatest team the world has ever seen. It might not be the most greatest, but the greatest, sorry, but it's like it's in the greatest conversation.
It's arguable, isn't it? You can put a case for it.
And I, all the way through, I was saying, like, I remember doing shows in August, saying, oh, fucking hell, it feels like February. It feels like March. And what's actually happened is, so August felt like February and March, and then December felt like May.
Yeah.
And now there's like another nameless month that this feels like. Like, we're beyond the normal measurements of time as to what this feels like. Like, I can't, it goes beyond that. And when you say, why are we doing it? Like, literally, why is this, like, why aren't you sleeping nights because of this?
Yeah.
And, like, it made more sense, 08-09, in that it was about Benitez, and it was about, like, the club was being brought down by these bastards and all of this sort of stuff. And now, almost because we're fucking boss and everything sounds, I'm a bit like, why does this hurt like this? Like, why am I going through this journey with this? And I think the answer, and it sounds like a really shit one, is it's something to do. and I have this thing when I did a talk yesterday at the university, and the way whenever I do these talks, whenever I do anything about footy now, the first thing I try to remember to say, and try to say as much as possible, and football supporters don't like it, like literally some of the people who are subscribing to this won't like it. One of the things I think is really important to say is the leisure activity. Yeah. This is a leisure activity, you know, it's akin to bird watching. Yeah. Bear that in mind. Literally, like, it is the thing. So you've got your job and you've got your family and you've got your friends, and there's like crossover in this with your leisure activities, because that's how leisure activities work. But this is a leisure activity. Like, let's just put it in, like, you know, when you define activities that you do in your life, sleeping is an activity, if you know what I mean. Like, you define your behaviours, and this is a leisure activity. And to start at the point, and I do the talk, and I'm like, yep, you know, if you're going to go into sports management, and anything about sports management, it's about leisure, you know, and it's about people really enjoying themselves and having a fantastic time, and that should be at the core of any decision that you then make. But when you bring it back and go, yeah, it's a leisure activity, and then you're basically looking at all your friends unbelievably strung out, effectively in different stages of on verge of breakdown. I did an interview on Tuesday for something for some documentary thing that might come out at the end of the season, and the fella ended the interview and he went, what are you going to do if we win the league? And this bottomless pit opens up beneath me of going, I don't know, mate. Like, your thing about Madrid, it wouldn't even just be that. Like, I can't make any plans for week commencing the 13th of May.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I almost got a bit emotional whilst I was answering, and it wasn't like even the yearning to win the league. It was just this sudden chasm of, I cannot answer your perfectly valid question as to what happens if the ultimate achievement in your leisure activity comes to fruition. I should be able to answer that. And I was thinking, I can't, because because it's everything. It's like going, so it's like saying, yeah, it's like if you're completing a computer game. And but someone's saying to you, so how are you going to play that computer game once you've completed it? I'm like, my brain doesn't, can't compute this. My brain doesn't work. Like, that's an end point.
Yeah.
And I don't know what then happens. That's like, this is, it's like saying, how are you going to watch that film once the credits have run? Well, the credits have run, mate.
Yeah.
The film's finished. I can't.
Yeah. And so what happens to us? You know, say we do win the league, you know, what happens to us? Like, but how do you carry on? Like, because there's a supporting Liverpool narrative around, you know, around this point is like, why are we so invested in it? Like, it's not just, I understand, it is literally a leisure industry, but it's part of who you are.
It's part of my character. Yeah.
part of my very completely being.
It is. That's what I mean. It is.
It goes way beyond that for me, because I'm with you. I think that's how it started. But like the first thing that popped into my head then, I was chatting to my dad the other day. My dad's retired. And he does, there's this thing in Liverpool called Williamson's Tunnels, which for people who don't know was a multimillionaire like 100 years ago who just started getting fellas to dig holes in the ground to give them a job. And now there's all these mad tunnels under the city that no one knows where they go or how far they go. And my dad volunteers and he goes down and just like twice a week just goes and digs like with buckets, like just emptying dirt. And he comes home and he says, and he was telling me about it.
It's a leisure activity.
And it's a leisure activity.
Well,
I was sitting there listening
like
to him.
He's got some dirt out.
He has. I went, how did it go today? And he was like, yeah, we got like whatever. He gave me a measurement of how much dirt they moved. And I'm sitting watching him thinking, it's pointless, isn't it? Like it's literally never ending. He doesn't know where they're going. He doesn't know what the point of it is. All you're ultimately doing is finding more tunnels. And once you finish the tunnel, you find another tunnel. And I was thinking, and it goes back to what Neil's saying. Basically, that's what when the meaning of life and all this deep shit, it's like you just need something to do. And that's, my dad's gone, well, I'll do that. But that's a leisure activity, because he's not coming home on a Sunday and people are going to him, what's wrong with your face? And he's going, well, I mean, it went badly wrong with the tunnels today. he's not desolate for a week about it. He goes and digs dirt, and then he comes home and goes, it was good, that. And that's it. He has his tea. He watches a quiz. And he's all right. And then we've got this thing. And I think somewhere along the line, having a bit of distance from it, you do start to look at things in a different way, because you're like, I mean, I've written about religion today, and you can do. Shankly talked about this, but it's got all the signs of a cult,
yeah,
hasn't it? Like, and at some point, someone's gone, should we turn this leisure activity into a cult?
Into a massive cult,
a huge one where we indoctrinate our children. I remember chatting to your wife weeks and weeks ago, and she was saying, "Yeah, like your lad's well into it now. He cried." He started crying. And I'm thinking, oh, fucking hell. I mean, what are we doing?
If he was another leisure activity there, he was watching films and he was crying. Yeah. I'd be like, lad, knock that man on the head.
What are you doing? Yeah. And imagine if there was anything else and you were telling other people about it. They'd be like, that's not good parenting. What are you doing to him?
Borderline abuse. Yeah. What's the matter with
you? But instead, we're all like, wow, he's getting into that. My cousin's living in the south of France. His lad has got no connection to this whatsoever. My cousin was raised in Australia. He's going to school crying, wearing a Liverpool kit, and people are going to him, what's wrong with you? he's crying because he's upset, and I'm going to be cousin Welling. But it's great that
it is. Like, you look at the point about religion, there is something in it. I think it's like, for me, you look at what's going on in your life, and I think there's definitive strands that in my brain I've now fused together. Do you know what I mean? So my very being cannot remove this thing from it. It cannot.
No.
So like when I was 20, my dad died, and to get through the year after we won the treble season, and you'd have people saying, like, you know, people who were religious in your family saying, oh, that's your dad, that looking down, isn't it? And I'm like, no, is it? Fuck. It's not. but I went to game with my dad every week. And so for that treble season, that was the first time I'd ever been in a match without going with my old fella. And so that's completely intertwined with my grief response to that thing happening. And so, like, at this point, I need something to happen. I need Liverpool to win the league, because I'm hoping that when that happens, I think for us, our age group, where I was 10 when Liverpool last won the league, we're all of a similar age. For our age group, we've took this fanaticism thing about Liverpool and one-upped it about a league.
Well, that's
victory.
So I think that's when you took, and I think this is why this has got everyone up the wall. Who's about our age, and the reason why is because Liverpool have won 18 league titles, and whilst I've been alive, I think, for six of them, like I was nine when we last won the league, I was nine, and so what it means is that it feels like we've never had one.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had one. So we've had a European Cup, like we got Istanbul, that was our European Cup, and that's one of the reasons why everyone's relatively relaxed about the European Cup in the grand scheme of things, but we've never had a league title. And we don't need, like, this is back to the question of what are you going to do when you win the league? And I'm like, I don't know. And the reason, like, I know exactly what I'm going to do when the European Cup. like both in terms of doing this job,
yeah,
but also in terms of everything, you know, everything that goes on around my life. I know exactly what winning the European Cup's like and what I'm going to be doing afterwards, and I know what it is to be at a European Cup final, and there's loads of football supporters who never have and never will, but I've got that. That's like that. I've got the picture of that. The league, I don't know. And you're right, you know, the way everything is intertwined, like every, basically every major event in my life is tied around literally the nearest game.
Yeah. Like it's your reference point.
It's literally how I measure time.
What happens on my 21st? Oh, yeah, I remember. Liverpool beat Man United 2-0. Fowler scored and Gerrard scored. Mm. I remember that.
Yeah.
Day, bang.
Yeah.
I remember like, the week after. I don't remember the game the week after because there's no marker in my, like, no personal marker that dictates that, you know what I mean? Mm.
Yeah, like, I remember the day after my dad had the heart attack and we Liverpool played United and there was some blue being a knobhead and you threatened to batter him.
See, I don't remember that at all.
No, but I remember it. But I remember because it's part of the episode of my dad having a heart attack. And I remember like one of the first things when my dad came round because he was really seriously ill and they were brilliant at Broad Green. But one of the things he was like, he happened with the match. It's my dad. He's lying there. They've just put something into his heart to clear it out. He couldn't have been better. And he basically wanted to know about the game. Like what's when I went to see him that night, how'd the game go?
Yeah,
and I was like, come on, Dad. And he's like, no, just honestly, we got beat, didn't we? Like, yeah. And that's like, how can this thing, this leisure activity, because bird watchers aren't doing this.
They're not.
maybe they are. Maybe they're saying the day they saw that amazing swallow.
It's not the same though, and again, this is something else. I'm sorry, mate. Imagine seeing a fucking, you know, a rare fucking robin redbreast, and you and your mate in the garden are having this incredible fall, like the best fall you've ever seen. The fucking birds there, you're like, made up. It's just illogical, innit?
But this is the thing.
It's like, just 22 lads kicking a ball, you know, John. I mean, if we really start pulling into this,
yeah,
but that's, I feel like insane, we're pulling a lot of threads.
That's the insane thing, John, when you've got people who don't know anything about it, and we all get a taste of this because even like wives and some family members now who aren't into it are a bit like, what? But at least they're around it, so they see it more. When you go and meet people who've got like, this is just a new thing to them, and they're like, we've never seen this before. It does give you this, like, it's like holding up a mirror to you. I'm like, why are you so arsed? And there isn't an answer.
There isn't one.
When you're like, I can't tell you, but even like changing other aspects of your life, this doesn't change. It's like, if I remember when I was away and I'm watching games at like 3 o'clock in the morning by myself in the hotel lobby because that was the only place with good Wi-Fi for stream, and I'm having to bite my own fist when Henderson scores. I'm like, when you're gripping the table and you don't want to throw it, and there's no one else there. Like, It's not you. At that moment, you're like, well, it's got nothing to do with peer pressure. It's got nothing to do with me mates. It's got nothing to do with anything other than there's like a gremlin who lives inside me. And when this stuff happens, this erupts. And there's nothing I can do about it. And that's just, I just accepted that now. That just lives there.
I think it's the, so he mentions mates there. I think like if we were, so when I'm trying to, because I've been thinking about it, like when we win the league, if we win the league, what are you going to do? Because I still haven't answered it. So it's a good question from the interview, but like in my head, I still haven't answered it. But one of the things is I almost want to see everybody.
Yeah.
Like I was made up Kopey was coming back. And I was made up Kopey was coming back, not because I fucking like him, but because, like Kopey's part of this, part of this winning the league thing.
Yeah.
He's got to be present. Like he's got to be present. Yeah, I don't have to be next to him at the match, but he has to be present. Like, you know, everyone's got to be present.
I'm with you.
We win the league. I need to see Adam. I need to see Steve. I need to see John. I need to see everyone. I need to see everyone and hold them and go, there's that. So that's what I'm going to do when we win the league, is I'm going to basically try to hold everybody I've ever met for a period of time. I'm going to cry with Adam. Like, I know that, like, you know, you're with him in the ground and it's not a goal. I mean, no wonder you're up the wall.
It's emotional.
But that's because we're all in this same maelstrom. And I do wonder sometimes, you know, because we're lucky in the office and we've got the younger lads. Like, they're not winning the league things just... I think they're all desperate to win the league. Don't get me wrong. But I do think that we're in a very particular age point.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it, but we've not got to live it. And we've got that weight of that history, and we haven't got the other side.
Yeah.
Whereas they've, you know, Liverpool, if you were born in the year 2000, well, Liverpool have won. They've had a treble season. they've had Istanbul, and then since then it's been two trophies.
Yeah.
So it's not quite this sort of prevalence of winning the league is what Liverpool do, which is, so you grew up, like my first game was 86, was in the running of 86.
Yeah.
The league and cup double, for fuck's sake, I was five. Yeah. it's no use to me now.
Yeah.
But I can remember little bits, but that's what we do, that's who we are.
Like logically, like carrying on from that, logically, the European Cup should be the one from a logical perspective that we want to win, because we've literally only won it five times, won the league 18 times. Fucking well less.
Do you know what I mean? 13 times different. Yeah.
So like, and it was funny going out last night to watch the semi-final of the European Cup. Time was quiet.
Yeah.
Time wasn't bouncing.
No.
And the perspective thing is just mad. This is the semi-final of the European Cup.
Yeah.
What's going on? Why isn't everyone fucking going berserk? And even like, we were saying to ourselves, it feels a bit flat today.
Mm.
And that, like, what a weird thing that is. Do you know what I mean? And that, like, the psychology of that just is fucking illogical. As the whole thing is irrational, it's illogical. But,
and do you think that's, because even thinking, like, to what you and Neil are saying, I remember Istanbul, and we've all been involved in those fights about Rafa with the older generations. I've had some fights with, like, family members, uncles especially, people who listen to this Liamy reference a lot, about Rafa Benitez, where it's got to the point where people are looking at each other like, you're never going to speak to each other ever again. Because I'm like, if you don't think he's brilliant, I don't want anything to do with you.
And I'm going to knock you out.
And I'm getting close to knocking you out. Like, I couldn't give a shit if you're my uncle or not.
And family, fuck off.
Yeah,
because it's all about the Neds here.
For us, when I look back now with hindsight and I think about the comments they used to make about Rafa, I'm like, all these years on, I'm like, yeah, they're probably very fair.
Yeah.
Like, they did do some mad shit and he was a bit odd at times and all that. But for our generation, he represented so much more because he lifted this weight, didn't he? Like, we'd listen to all these stories. It's hard to put into context for people who hadn't just their whole lives listened to it. Like, oh, when the European Cup wins and all this, he lifted that whole thing. So I wonder whether, just because of that, for all of us as well, it's like, yeah, well, I mean, that pressure's been lifted. But this other one, I mean, the European Cup pressure was big when that got lifted. But this one, and especially because, as Neil was saying, like, we are, I mean, probably the greatest ever Liverpool team that we're watching. And there's a pretty good chance we still don't win the league. I mean, that's where it becomes unbearable, isn't it?
Like, I talk happens? To myself about the league all the time. Yeah. Like I'll do something and I'll think, yeah, Championship winning that. That's real. Like, and every now and again I catch myself doing it, and I do it a lot more than I catch myself doing it. And whenever I catch myself doing it, I'm thinking, this isn't healthy, this.
Yeah.
And I do it loads. Like, the most mundane thing, like, I'll time, like, making a bacon butty, spot on. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll do bacon on toast.
I didn't know where he was going with that.
I know something. So, like, the most mundane thing.
I didn't think it was bacon butties.
I didn't see a bacon butty
thing. It's the most mundane thing. So, you know, the toaster pops at the right time, get the butter on perfectly, the bacon's. It's just everything's just come together. And I think, Championship stuff. and that's because, like, everything is winning the league. Everything. Anything I do is winning the league. Like, I feel as though I'm adding to the winning the league efforts, which I'm obviously very clearly not.
I know, but I'm with you. Yeah.
It's the thing that spurs me on to mundane excellence, like a decent bacon sandwich, is the idea that there could be a title at the end of this.
I've come back for it. Like, it doesn't make sense, even in the context of even my own life, my wider life. It makes no sense that we don't do the double.
Yeah.
Like, that's the story. That's the story for me. Like, I was aware,
been through
a, like, personal transformation over the past 12 months, life completely changed, being away, come back, be part of this, win the league, win the European Cup,
piss off
days.
Into the sunset.
Just, that's it, die then. So is it?
Finished. So for you, like, in your head, when you're making that decision to come back, are you seeing the potential of Liverpool winning the league as quashing this insatiable desire for it to happen, or this urgency to be a Liverpool fan? Are you seeing this act of Liverpool winning the league changing you as a person? Are you being able to live your life in a different way if this happens?
I think maybe, yeah. You know, I think maybe for us, for our lad, for our generation, I think. I think maybe. I said, one of my mates I've mentioned a lot who's a Man City fan, when it looked like they could do the quadruple and they're all financially doped up to the eyeballs and all that, I said to him, the best thing you could do as a football club is win the quadruple and fold.
Yeah.
And then whatever they investigate, whatever they come up with, go, it's all right. We packed it in anyway. We've completed this game. We're going to go and do something else. A bit like who was the fella who won the Formula One and then went the next day, like just did a video going, so I'm packing that in now. And I was like, what? Like, you've just become the best in the world. He's like, yeah, I've done it though, haven't I?
I've done it, I'll do something else.
Going to go and do horse riding or something. And I don't know whether there is an element of that for all of us. You're like, it doesn't get better than that.
I don't think I'd be packing in, but what's that? So when I got... Before we played United this season, I went over and did some stuff with Steve Armstrong and I'm talking to him and he's like, I don't understand why you don't just want to win trophies, why it's all this one thing, and it puts, you know, he thinks it puts too much pressure on and all this sort of stuff, and I thought about what he said, and the thing is that if we won the league this season, I wouldn't give a fuck what we won next. I'd want to win a trophy, but I'd be as happy with, you know, I always say fuck the League Cup off, next season if we win the league, we win the league and we win the League Cup and come top four. Good season, made up.
Yeah.
Year after, pick up an FA Cup, come third, had a bit of interest around February, but it didn't quite come together. Oh, sound, yeah, one of them, is it? Yeah, semi-finals of the Champions League as well. Great year. We'll have had a lovely time. Yeah. We'll have had a big adventure. So when you're saying I would have changed my life, like, I think it would, in that I'd just be able to... I think it's the next state. That, like, I think Klopp is desperate for us all to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I sort of think, like, we've got to find a way to get a message to him, which is if you want us all to enjoy it more, and by that I mean... Huddersfield away in October. If you want us all to enjoy getting a 1-0 away at Huddersfield more, you just need to win one league.
Yeah.
And then we'll all go, whoa. At least for a few years. A few years of, whoa. Yeah. I don't have to think about that. I don't have to be panicked about Huddersfield away in October. I just get to turn up and enjoy a footy match. Sing about the brilliance that is Liverpool and then go home.
Is it changing you? Is you see it if this happens? When it happens, I think if it doesn't happen this year, it will happen over the course of the next few years.
I think it will as well, but I think there's a lot of people aren't psychologically ready for another horrible autumn.
I'm not invested at all in another league challenge for fucking maybe 10 years.
You're just going to need a break from it.
I'm going to need a break.
Can we just aim for third this season, lads?
Unless we win it. And because, irrational again, but I just think I will be able to watch the match. And then if something doesn't go our way, I'll be able to go, oh, okay, turn it off, bang, what do you want for your tea? Whereas now, if I watch the match, I'm not allowed to watch the match in our house. I'm banned. That sells its own story.
It does.
I'm buying my birds a caravan of Liverpool in the league.
This is insane, by the way.
That makes no sense.
I know, it doesn't.
We don't need one. We've got nowhere to park. We haven't got a garage. We never go away. Anywhere we go on holiday abroad, it's fucking illogical. But we're buying one. As soon as we win the league. Yeah, let's fucking 20 grand. I'm not asked. Where have you got it from? I don't know. Credit cards, who cares? Fucking. Like, it. None of this. Like, how do you explain it? Like, how do you explain your emotional response to a normal person? Like, you've been in that environment. They're just looking at you like a head case.
Yeah, it's completely irrational. And you feel like a head case when you're trying to explain it. Because as you start doing the thing where you're just talking to a normal person now and trying to talk about this thing rationally, you realise, you very quickly get to the point where you're saying, I appreciate it makes no sense. When they're going to me, like, and it was just even the games that kicked off at midnight, and I was in a part of the world where no one's really that arsed, and I hunted down a bar that chose footy and made sure that I could go there, and I'd be sitting there with three people in this massive bar with Liverpool, and everyone else is going to bed, and it's pissing down with rain, and people are going to me, what are you doing? I'm going to watch the match. And I'm so used to, and that's why, Joanna said before about when you're in the experience, you're like, oh, well, this is just in me. But the reason to come back, you've got to share that with people who understand it. Because otherwise, you're there going, this is weird, this.
Mm. It's I used to think, and I still, obviously, because I think that Liverpool Football Club is rooted in the city of Liverpool. But I used to think it was about a sense of place and representing that place. When you're saying, what's the point? And I do think that is one of the points. But what doing the travelling stuff that I've done and going doing the events and the talking and speaking to people around that, like, you can't just say it's like they've bought into the sense of place. Mm. That's true. But it is ultimately about the people. And so when you say, what's the point? And when you're talking about your flat earther, who basically says, I've got all these personal relationships wrapped up in this and all of this sort of stuff, and now I've got I'm in a bind. Well, it's not the idea, you know, it's like, it's for the people. If we do it, like, I can see a scarf over there for San Francisco. I can see a scarf, I think, for Seattle. And, like, I'll hopefully see everyone I've ever met. And then there will be a point where I'm thinking about those people. And I want to have known what it was like in their bars when Salah makes it 3-0 against Wolves and all the results have gone our way. And there's five to go. Yeah. What was it like there? Yeah. I want them to tell me. I want them to record it because I want the people. And I think that's what it's become.
It's fascinating to, like, for me as a fan, I'm indoctrinated it by geography and by me our fella being a Liverpool fan and all my family being Liverpool fans. That was my gateway drug, do you know what I mean? That was it. It's fascinating that it means as much to people who are doing what you done when you were away for every, like we think it's hard being a Liverpool fan because, like, you know, you'd have to go to match, you have to go to ground, you have to get to Anfield, and you get a bit of a cob on because they haven't got a train station.
Because it's ridiculously hard.
And there's people getting up.
It's a leisure activity, you know, this should be easier.
There's people getting up at 3 a.m, choosing to watch it, and, like, then having to go to work on a Monday morning. And, like, it's fascinating to understand the distinction. Like, how does that happen there? But I think the point you make is a sense of place. It is about a sense of place, and it's about your character, and it's about what you represent as a person, and how it's reflected in how you live your life. Like, the stuff that's gone on, I don't want to go into this Barcelona shit, but the stuff that's gone on in Barcelona and how this portrayal of your people then manifests itself across the world, that pains you, do you know what I mean? Because it's something that you've got no control over, but people are making a judgment about you that is unfair and is not a true reflection of the people who actually go to game and all. And I don't know, I don't want to get into that, but I suppose, like, for me being a Liverpool fan, I think one of the things I found out, I went to speak to someone about, like, I speak to a professional person about me, you know what I mean, a few years ago, and I didn't know anything about what was going on in my brain, and then we started, he just, dead clever, just exploring, like, my psyche and all that, and we ended up talking about Hillsborough for, like, 6 weeks, non-stop, that's all I spoke about. And, like,
just for listeners, you were there.
I went with my half fella and my uncle, and I was, what, 8, 9, and I didn't know this event had impacted on my life. Like, I didn't know it had, do you know what I mean? I just thought it was something that happened that I witnessed. I was too young really to understand what it was, and then I spoke to this fella and he was like, what do you think about the fight for justice, and what do you think about this, and what do you think about that, and all these things come out that I was completely unaware of. Like, I was like, you know, it's the people say everything, you know, that, you know, you're always a victim, you know, it's never your fault, all this stuff, but what happened there has made me the person I am today. There's no two ways about it, and it's made the city the place it is today. And trying to remove yourself from that, trying to stop this emotional connection to this football club when you've had loved ones who you've shared memories with who are no longer here, and then you've witnessed this thing that you didn't know affected you but absolutely 1000% did, trying to engineer a way not to be involved in this anymore, pack in. You haven't got a cat and hell's chance of doing that. It's never going to change.
No.
Ever. It just might get a bit easier if Liverpool win the league. Do you know what I mean? It just might, your relationship with this thing might evolve to a point where you just accept it. And, like, it's fine, as you said before, it's fine when you're shite. Because it's easy, you can just moan about Liverpool being shite.
Yeah.
But it's when we're so good that we still might not win that. And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Do you know what? Even sitting listening to you, like, describe all of that stuff, and even the thing about what happened in Barca and how it represents us and the link with that, it's a religion. It's the closest thing you'll ever get. And even listening to you and talking about Hillsborough and those other experiences on top of it, I'm almost sitting here thinking, and I was thinking this as I wrote the article where I was talking about this sort of stuff as well, is it's almost the biggest religion, the most intense religion, because like the constituent parts of it all fit what a religion does. Even the idea of people from thousands of miles away buying into it, it's like they pick up the book, they read it, they go, oh, I like the idea of this, I like the story of this fella and that thing that he did and this miracle and this miracle, and then, oh, I'll buy into that, I'm in now, and now I've become a convert and now I'm in. And other people don't understand me when I talk about it, but now I'm part of you. And then, but on top of that, we have these ridiculously like intense emotional experiences that supplement and build on top of the basic. Like in religion, I was raised a Catholic, and like you get all this indoctrination as a kid, but as you get older, you start like sort of picking holes in it and going, does that make any sense? Who's he? Did that really happen?
Yeah.
But with this thing, when you're like, well, I've been there, mate. And we saw it like going into Kiev last year, and we're all doing interviews with different places and that. And you can say, the rest of the country can mock all they want. We've witnessed miracles. And it's like, I can, even that, that sounds mad, doesn't it? Yeah. Imagine if I'm sitting here going, well, you can say what you want about Jesus, mate. I was there. I was there when he got the fish and that.
Yeah, so exactly.
Say what you want. I saw it.
It's being a Catholic and Jesus coming into your house in the morning saying, "Lad, what's happening? Watch this." And fucking 50.
And also, changing the thing all the time,
naturally evolving it,
changing the thing. Yeah. And I think that's where it's different. But that's where, you know, like I did the, I did the writing last night, and I don't know how. I mean, if you've seen the post match pint, I wrote the piece after the post match pint. So. I mean, if you want to talk about miracles, Kobe, you queue right up. There was one football maestro at his best last night, and I put Leo Messi in the shades. And I don't know how, but I literally read it this morning like someone else had written it, because I was present, but, yeah, you know. Yeah. But I came back to the idea of, you know, the Joni Mitchell lyric of "Go to him and be prepared to bleed." And I remember writing that during the match, just sort of writing it, and I think that's why I ended up sort of going on it. But it was that idea of, when you talk about the sort of the religious aspect of it, it is that idea of be prepared to suffer. And I think that's what the Win the League thing is. And I think that's why it is different. And I think it is different to something that any, like, this is where I think our experience currently is different to a lot of other football teams, is that there is a thing in this city, place, people, this journey around the title, it is be prepared to suffer. Be prepared to bleed. This is, you know, it's gonna hurt. The manager keeps saying that we're gonna suffer in games, and he's saying it in a footballing sense and in a sporting sense, and I'm like, no shit, mate. Every time he says it, I'm like, Paul, you've nailed that one. But that is that is part of it, and it's part of the whole thing. And when you're hooking it all in, I think that's at the core of it. And what I think you're saying, and where I agree with you, is I don't think it will feel like sufferance once the league's won once. Like, I don't think it'll be the same. I came out after Southampton and I was a wreck. I was exhausted physically being in the ground, coming out after Southampton. I was emotionally, physically, I was bruised. I was genuine, like, you name it, I had it as a problem. I spent much of the way home thinking, I might just burst into tears here. I might just cry on the spot. I'm at the point now where I'm just going to cry. I'm done.
I'm spent.
And
a spent force.
I was an absolute, honestly, and I'm coming, and that's, and I just remember thinking, God, this is outrageous. And I remember just thinking, but it won't feel like, if we win the league, I thought to myself, it will never feel like this again.
Yeah.
Because it won't.
Yeah.
It won't. If we win the league, I will never, like, the moment when Salah scores that goal against Southampton, I will celebrate goals emphatically. But I just don't think it'll ever feel like that again. I just don't. I just think that you know, I've got a few more of these. And if we do it, so when the fella says, well, what are you going to do if we win the league? There'll also be, like, a tiny little bit of sadness.
Yeah.
Because the quest's done.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and that's mad as well, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, basically what this show, is three fellas in a room going, well, that it's not great, that, is it? it's currently 42 and a half minutes of not great this, you know.
Yeah, I hope it's helping people.
I mean, it's helping me.
Do you feel better?
I needed a conversation. I needed a conversation with like-minded people today, because I was just I was at a low ebb this morning, and not necessarily as a consequence of the results, just as a general, I'm full to the brim.
Yeah.
I, like, my body can't cope with any more of this emotional turmoil.
You know, well, how did you feel? Because I thought last night, Joe, when they put up the graphic and there was just three games left, yeah, that's it. Unless we perform a miracle, which we might, and then there's four, but even then there's only four. But there's three games in the next week. So how did you feel when that came up? Because I looked at that and there was a big part of me that went, thank fuck for that.
Yeah,
like it'll all be over. One way or another.
There's an element of that. There's an element of thank fuck for that. There's an element of, as you said before, what the fuck do we do when that's happened?
Yeah.
Either way,
yeah,
we win it. What do? We don't win it. How do we recover? And the thing that got me the other week, like I've been saying City going to drop points. And then there's three games left. And I'm like, fine, they're going to drop points. They didn't drop points. Right.
Did Burnley hit you hard?
Burnley was tough for half an hour. And then I had two bottles of Moretti and a gin and tonic and thought, fuck it, put some music on. And I didn't even watch Burnley. I went to buy Caravan. Genuinely did. I've seen one.
Showed a lot of confidence in Sean's ice there, haven't you?
I thought I'd just help fate along a little bit, you know what I mean? Look, I'm doing my fucking part here. I'm signing up to a fucking deal with this fucker here. You see me bear coming a mile off.
I love the way fate's like, what?
What are you talking about?
A caravan?
Where are you going to keep it?
This wasn't got nothing to do with me, this mate.
But I think the thing that got me is thinking about it. Like, we were thinking about it last night. Okay, what happens if Liverpool win Saturday? City's off points Monday. We beat Barca Tuesday. What do you do the rest of the week waiting for Sunday?
But even Tuesday, let's say we beat Newcastle and City drop points. Are we all going fuck Barca? What? Because imagine if he goes full strength against Barca to try and do it, and Firmino and Salah get injured, and you're like,
fuck off, lads.
Come on, like you just need to beat Wolves. Fucking leave this.
Don't even play.
You'd have to be fighting.
Don't even fulfil the fixture.
Leave it. We'll just go. We'll just leave it. And there'll be all the young lads going, we want a European Cup, and our generation will be going, we've had one of them, had it.
Shit, yeah.
We'll show you the video. Boss.
But even the flip side of that discussion is what happens if we don't win on Saturday and City beat Leicester Monday? This time next week could all be done.
I
nearly started crying.
Kobe's head just went completely there.
That can't be the story. That can't be the story. Ending. Can it?
It's not.
That can't be the ending.
It isn't.
No wonder I'm exhausted. There's the amount of time I have to spend talking about this and you've just done that to me. There is something I think in... The really shit thing about getting a great footy team is that the season has to stop. And then it all has to start again from scratch. And even if it's the same lads and it will be and no one's going anywhere and all of that sort of stuff, you just fall in love with a footy team over 9-10 months. And when you see them give everything as well. And that's one of the things about last night's game against Barca, in that you are able to at least somewhere in your brain just go, well, you've had hard lines there, lads.
Yeah.
You know, a few of you should do better at key moments, but you've just had hard lines.
Yeah.
So you forgive them. You forgive them it, if you know what I mean. Yeah. You're able to just forgive them it because they're great lads. They're your boys. You love them. You love them. You couldn't love them more. You don't love anything more in your whole life, and that's a bit disturbing as well.
Yeah.
But we're just gonna have to park that one for this
Actually,
show.
That's a separate show.
And their concerns are your concerns on a profound and deep level, and they're probably not aware of it. And if they were, they'd probably be quite uncomfortable. But there is, I think, you're not gonna get to watch them again for 3 months.
I know.
And then it's going to start all over again. And you're going to fall in love with them all over again. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're going to think they're a gang of pricks, these. They could be the same people, but the ball doesn't bounce for them in September. And by November, it's all got a bit pear-shaped. And you're prepared to sell everyone, and it's going to kill you. There's part of me that's going, thank fuck it's nearly finished. But there's another part of me going, I don't want to stop watching them.
Yeah.
Like, the main reason why I want them to get to a Champions League final is so that we get one more game.
And we get to go.
And we get to go and watch them once more.
Yeah.
And when you say, well, what's the point of it? There's part, like, people say that to me with doing the job all the time and all the talking about footy and all of that. And people say, you know, I get a bit sick of it. And I say, every now and again, yeah. But I love watching them. I love watching the 22 lads. Like, the 22, because you've got to have an opponent.
Mm.
I love going and watching them play footy. And every now and again, this other thing happens, which is someone who doesn't go very often or at all, you'll speak to them before or after the game, and they'll be like, it's magic what they do.
Mm.
Like, watching them against Huddersfield, I was with someone who doesn't go to the game very often at all. And she said, you've forgotten that these are the best people in the world at this. You're watching the best people in the world at this, and it's unbelievable what they do and how fast they do it. And you're like, oh, yeah, I remember kicking footies around and I'm crap at it.
Yeah.
Like, it is unbelievable what they do, and that's another reason why they should be forgiven at times, because it's unbelievable what they do and how fast they're doing it and everything that's going on. Mm. That's why they should always be given the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing thing to watch. It's like a spectacle. You're going and seeing the best person at something. If you watch Mo Salah, you are going to watch somebody who, Leo Messi aside, is the best person at this thing, and you're watching him 19 times in the league minimum if you've got a season ticket. That's just like where else is that happening? You weren't watching Roger Federer 19 times.
Yeah, you're not going to watch Springsteen.
No, 19 times.
Yeah, Springsteen on Broadway or whatever.
Yeah. You're not doing
that. I don't think I've mentioned this to you. I must have mentioned it on a talk on Reds or something like that. I went to my nephew plays for Wigan's Academy, and we went as like a family day out last weekend, I think, to watch Wigan, and it was against Preston. And I'd forgotten what it was like to watch footy, thinking, and I'm 39 a couple of weeks and I can't turn my head, and my left knee's goosed. And we tried to play footy the other week, and my body was like, lad, what are you trying to do here? Yeah. This is ridiculous.
I've heard about this, by the way. I believe it was a struggle for you.
It was just awful. Just awful.
Yeah, there was a lot of comments, to be fair, Cope. I can imagine.
Fitzy went to me at one point, your head should be up, you just scored. I went, my head's not the problem, mate. My body's going to be, what are you trying to do? This is ridiculous. But even in that condition, I was sitting watching Wigan Preston, and it reminded me how long it is since I've thought, I reckon I'd get a game.
Yeah.
I reckon I could play for one of these teams. If I get myself in good shape, I could play right back, easy. They were shite, like really, really shite. And I was sitting there going, and there was a couple of Liverpool fans there, said, it's brilliant this. You should all be forced to come and watch it. Just go and watch any, take your pick, and all of a sudden you're like, fucking hell, these lads we watch are
so
incredible.
I've really enjoyed watching a lot, because I have to watch a lot of football and be on top of a lot of football because of the shows, and I try to catch highlights, and if there's a game, like, you know, I'll just watch half an hour of Newcastle Brighton. I don't have to watch it all, but just sort of get the sense of who's doing what and what everyone's about. What I've actually really enjoyed is there's a lot of people who tend to only watch Liverpool who started to watch other teams, and not just watch them, but watch them and support them because we want them to take points off City.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who suddenly go, fucking hell, these footy players are crap in comparison to ours.
Yeah, it's easily lost, innit?
Yeah.
It's very easy. Like, I watched whoever. I didn't watch Burnley. I watched the one before, whoever.
United.
Oh, Jesus Christ, they're the worst side I've ever fucking seen in my life. I mean, imagine supporting them. But it's probably easier supporting them at the minute.
Yeah.
Well, easier, because they've just fucked it all off and they're all waiting for Glastonbury.
But what are they? They're the sixth best team in the league.
And absolutely
the third
crap.
Best team in the league has lost 12 games.
There's something in. When we went to Old Trafford, I thought there's a solid, and this isn't to slag anyone off because I understand why, there's a solid crew of Liverpool supporters who would be enjoying it more if we swapped places with them at that time, not now, but when Solskjaer's come in, they're on the charge towards top four. You know, it all feels good, playing good stuff, Paris Saint-Germain, all feels nice, it's easy that. Like, that genuinely is easy. Yeah. We've done that, we've been there, and that's easy. That's a walk in the park. This is...
There's no pressure.
No, not really. Because, yeah, it's great to finish top four. But, you know, it's... Top four in FA Cup, sounds great.
Yeah.
That's easy. This has led to this show, which we're going to have to stop, because I've got to go and do a second look about Barca last night, and I could do without it, to be honest with you, Jono. But we are where we are.
I mean, we'll meet again in the summer and have a similar chat, eh? Sports Social Podcast Network.